Welcome back to the Double Cleanse Podular Cast. My name's James Welsh from the internet.
My name is Robert Welsh from the internet, but before the year 2000.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those sparkly women with the flares.
Yeah, a sparkly Hello Kitty gif.
Yeah.
Gif, gif.
Sorry if you hear my chair creaking. I'm sitting on a fold-out desk chair that probably cost about £5.
£5 from Argos's. So here's the thing, everyone. Hi, everyone. Welcome. But also,
hi.
I'm moving pretty much next door to Robert in the next couple of days. So we're going to start recording our podcast in the same room. Mm. At the moment, we are in Robert's studio.
It's a mess
with our microphones and laptops balancing on cardboard boxes until I get a proper setup in my place. So we will, you know, we're going to be filming more.
Yeah.
We're going to be filming more. The podcast.
Because all we have to do is walk down how many doors?
Five or ten. But then we also have to get ready in the mornings.
Oh,
so we might have to start doing it in the evening.
Wow.
Like Tuesday evenings.
I can't do it evenings because that's when my dogs go crazy.
Okay.
What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
So when did we last talk?
I feel like we've... So this is the second time recording the subject of today's podcast. Mm. And they're all kind of merging into one, aren't they?
Subjects. Did I talk about new dog? Yeah, I got a new dog.
Yeah, new dog.
What else has happened? God, I got a carpet cleaner.
Well, that's actually interesting because we're at the age now where carpet cleaners and like shelving units.
You'll be surprised how dirty your carpets get.
I saw something on... TikTok about a lady who used to work for QVC.
Yeah.
And she used to do like all the visual side of it, so setting up everything. And she showed on TikTok how they make dirty carpets look dirty and how they make cleaners
look good.
Oh, you
mean when they're advertising the vacuum and they have a white bit of carpet and they throw some pebbles on it.
Well,
and
I
look at even who was at pebbles.
Yeah, kind of. But this woman had a red carpet and it looked dirty red, right?
Right.
And this... carpet cleaner.
So burgundy.
Burgundy. No, I'll tell you, it looked darker red because it was dirty. It was supposed to be dirty. So then this carpet cleaner went over the top of the carpet and completely made it red.
Yeah.
That's water. So all they do is they make the carpet look dirty by putting water on it and then they hoover it straight away and all the water gets sucked up and it looks cleaner.
What?
Yeah, so it's not muddy. It's just like a trick. It's a trick. It's all a trick.
False advertising.
It's false advertising.
Fucking QVC. I love you, but don't mess with us like that.
Yeah, no, you actually love QVC.
I love QVC so much.
Nothing's happening with me. I'm just moving house and everyone's moved house before.
It's been a relatively calm week and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, it's been fine.
Robert,
is there anything you've been loving this week?
James. So there's been a lot of brands that I haven't been able to try because they're very US based. Mm. And before I started this channel, and we can probably talk about this a little bit more in depth later, I didn't really have like the money to pay for like customs because when something gets delivered from the US to America, what did I say?
US to America.
Where are we?
England.
If someone gets... If something gets delivered from the US to England, you have to pay, is it customs fee?
Customs tax. So it could either be, you could get £12 or you can get £100 customs charge.
It's insane. You never know. And that's when, and that's up to the buyer to pay. It's a known thing, you know? So I haven't usually been able to afford things like that. But as I've been doing YouTube full time, very lucky, I can actually... you know, pay for these customs fees to make more content for
or you
channel.
Get sent it now as
or
well.
I get sent it as well. So very recently, it's my first time ever trying Juvia's Place, which is a big brand. You'll recognize it if you see the palettes. I'll show you them later.
Okay.
This foundation. Oh, I can't be able to stretch across. No, that's in the orange tube.
Sorry, I don't know what foundation looks like.
It looks like skin.
Oh, cool.
So this is a dubious place. I am Magic Velvet Matte Foundation. This, to me, is what Dream Matte Mousse tried to be. But it's actually nice. So the Juvia's Place one is more like a creamy mousse, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
So it's not that hard, dry, nasty, sandy texture that Dream Matte
that makes
like.
You look not matte but dry.
Dry and
shows
like
up
some
every texture.
Yeah, someone's blown sand into your face afterwards. So Vesuvius Paste On, it looks really natural, but is a full coverage, matte, natural looking foundation. Excuse me.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Sorry, James bought me sugar-free Red Bull and my system doesn't agree. but it just looks incredible. I'm really, really happy to use it. And the concealer is great too, but I'm focusing on the foundation. Really.
But it mattes your skin.
Yeah, it's very matte. Oh, it says... Marcus just cut this, me thinking. It's velvety matte. So it almost has that natural matte finish. And James is yawning right in front of me.
Oh, do you know what? This goes on to my favorite thing. Yeah. It's not a skincare product.
No, that's fine.
I was up to about 2 o'clock in the morning last night watching the Paris Hilton documentary on Netflix.
The new one.
Yeah, I'm only halfway through. Listen, I don't like celebutants.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't care about celebrity culture, but I do find the business side of it really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's so weird hearing Paris Hilton, her normal voice.
I know, she talks like this.
Yeah, she's like, hi, it's Paris Hilton. And her saying, like, you know, this voice is an act. And in this documentary, she switches it on. And you see her literally acting and working.
Yeah, yeah.
But it goes more into her past. It talks about her family, how she's really like this, like, tomboy and all these dresses and all that. She doesn't really like it. It's just like this character she's created, which I think we've all known. But I was like, I couldn't stop watching it. I haven't finished it yet. It's about an hour and a half. But it's really, really good. I really like it. Oh, I don't have skincare for you. Don't buy Paris Hilton skincare, though. It's overpriced.
So that's Paris Hilton.
Yeah, so that's about Paris Hilton.
Oh, you know what? I forgot. Sorry, my favorite. I tried... Sorry, everyone. Rare Beauty.
Oh, the Selena Gomez. Can I have a look at the packaging? Apparently she made it so people with...
No, okay, so this is apparently... that was something that the company hasn't stated that at all in any way. This is what I heard. I actually haven't done my own research into it, so maybe somebody else do it. But apparently the people who designed it, that wasn't part of a brief for the package design.
Oh, so we're saying, first of all, they designed... We haven't actually said what we're talking about. They designed it for...
For people with like arthritis and lupus and things like that to make it easier to open. But apparently it's just like an added... benefit of a packaging.
I mean,
like
it was easy to open.
Oh yeah, it wasn't in the brief or anything like that. Apparently, but that's, let's not go into that because we don't know. But Rare Beauty is I did a review and I don't get some of the product, like the powder, but it was so good. It was so good. And I think people wanted to hate it because it was a celebrity brand.
People do, though, don't they? I think what people like need to think about, like celebrity brands, is how is reasonably priced, right? Selena Gomez's stuff.
It's makeup price.
Makeup price, right. Yeah. So I think what people need to understand is that, like, any of these brands could come out with a celebrity attachment.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Do you mean, like, so it's just because it's Selena Gomez, it doesn't mean that amazing chemists and formulators and amazing, like, people who have been in the industry for decades, years and years, haven't had a say in what's going on here.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's not like Selena Gomez is in her kitchen mixing up powder.
Yeah, being like, from my experience,
Yeah, so just because she's part of it, it doesn't immediately make it, just because a celebrity is part of it, doesn't immediately make it a bad product or shit. Or like a cash grab.
Oh, yeah,
I think like they have to look at like who, you know, what the conglomerate that's coming from, who that celebrity is, who they've worked with. The chemist. Not that you can find that out easily, but you need to consider that there's a whole business side behind this and that they're going to want to make money. Yeah. So they're going to be trying to make the best product they can.
Exactly. And the highlight is amazing as well. We're not talking, you know, Kesha releasing makeup.
Oh, what would that be like? Glue and glitter.
Did she do it with somebody? So yeah, Rare Beauty is a great, great brand, really. Despite, you know, whether you like or don't like the celebrity behind it. There you go, Marcus, you can put that in. I actually finished the sentence.
And then music. Tang, tang, tang. Tang, 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 tang.
Wait, that's not where I live. Oh no, it's just the guy driving to the restaurant.
I was going to say, swear to God, if I don't get my drink.
I just called a coffee place a restaurant.
Okay. Restaurant.
Okay, well, music it could again. Be.
So today, obviously on this podcast, we talk all things makeup, skincare.
Yeah.
But our real thing that we wanted to bring was a merge of that with the behind the scenes, the BTS of being a finfluencer. I forgot the word. Let me do that again, Marcus. Sorry. I forgot the word. Panicked. Talking all things. No, that's not enough time, is it?
No, start again.
Okay, start again. Tang, 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 tang. So on this podcast, I think one of our main goals that we really wanted to do was talk more about, as well as like... to say music. Hang on. Okay, I'll start again. Tang, tang, tang.
Jesus Christ. Okay, good.
Okay. One of the main things we wanted to do with this podcast is really talk more about the behind the scenes of being an influencer. You know, we see a lot of people be like, you know, it's not easy being an influencer.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to talk about our own personal experience, like a no bullshit approach kind of thing. I think one thing that we see a lot of people talk about is how they started YouTube, how they started becoming an influencer.
Yeah.
Just so you all know, we hate the word influencer, but it's a term everyone
gets, job role.
Right?
It's, yeah. It's more of a stigma behind it that we don't like the way other people view it, I guess.
Yeah. So what I thought we'd do today is talk very openly about we both thought this, sorry, not just me.
No,
actually,
James,
that's a lie. I come up with
James,
the majority of our podcast.
Wait a minute, I thought of this idea.
No, you never.
I totally did.
Okay, but I
100%.
I come up with everything else.
Yeah, no, I could do that. That's fine. But I came up with this one.
So what Robert thought we would do.
It was me.
It was Robert.
You know what? It doesn't matter. We're equal.
This is both of our
this
podcasts.
Is a team.
We want to talk very openly and realistically as well about how to get started being an influencer, whether it is a viable job, money, you know, working full time, you know, how it all works, working with brands, the whole kind of realm of being an influencer and how to get started if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's something we see a lot of online as people. I see it a lot on Twitter, actually. It's very, why the fuck did I say it's very? Marco, let me do that again. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, James, you're right. It's something I see a lot, and I see it on Twitter. There's a lot of people, actually, and it's everywhere on Instagram. There's this kind of, it sounds weird, but it's a struggle to get your work to be seen, whether it's a video or a picture on Instagram. People are like, share this and I'll share you. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding with techniques that people put out on how to get your name out there, or how to make a post work better or do better for you, or how to make a video work better. And there's a few things you can kind of slip into that are kind of like bad habits as well for promoting yourself and helping promote other people.
So let's just get started.
Let's
talk about my journey of being an influencer first, because you kind of come into it later. So very briefly, because we talked about previous work before in a previous podcast, as Robert just reminded me off mic. So as I mentioned before, I worked for ASOS and Top Man presenting their YouTube channel. I then got kind of like scouted by Michelle Farns Network, Icon Network, which is a YouTube network, which we'll talk about, MCN, multi-channel networks later. And they basically said, create a YouTube channel and we'll sign you up. And that's how I did it, basically. And I started creating men's content. So, like, because that's what I was, a male stylist at the time, styling for men, who is a male, and a personal shopper. So that's kind of what I tried to do on YouTube. So then that's kind of like, I did male grooming, skincare and stuff. So that's how I got into it. And then I kind of like just went from there, worked a couple of full-time jobs alongside doing YouTube and just built up from there, long story short.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, really.
Yeah.
With me, I was still doing makeup. And I think at the time, when did I start? So I started doing YouTube and I started doing makeup on models on YouTube, which obviously does deleted now because they were shit. But then I took like a year's break or two
longer
years
than
break.
That. You took for like ages.
Ages,
you
right?
Didn't do anything.
I moved to Australia and I moved to Florida over two separate years. So yeah, it was about 2 years break, really.
But then even when you came back, you weren't
I didn't
doing
really
it.
Do it. I only took it seriously, I think, towards the end of last year or middle of last year when I didn't really have an important job. Not saying that the job I had before. But I thought, it's difficult to say because I didn't see it as a career option. You know
no, you
I mean?
Were just doing it for a
side. Yeah, I was doing it for love. and then I basically recorded a video, which was a reaction video. And we'll talk about videos later, I guess, ideas later. And that kind of took off. And then from there, I just got more and more subscribers, and that was pretty much it. I think mine is very much down to luck, if that makes sense. It was the right video at the right time.
But then it was really difficult to get Robert to quit his other job. I was on to Robert for maybe about 3 months.
Yeah.
Saying like, I literally told you, I was like, listen, this, if you do the structure, you're going to be fine. Yeah. Quit your job. And he didn't do it for the longest
time. I didn't do
time.
It. Here's the deal. Where did we just get back from? So I just came back from living in Florida again.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this time I can't do, I need a career now. Like I can't just rely on, you know, myself or anything like that. That's why it's so scary, because of YouTube, first of all, you have to kind of rely on yourself a little bit. So I was like, let me get like a management job. So I got a management job with Mac, which was the dumbest thing ever. I don't know why I did
Robert just doesn't like work in general. So I don't know why he thought he could
it
enjoy
it. It was a great team.
Our
coffee's
people.
Here.
Quick,
sorry.
Quick,
managing people is the last thing we said.
Do what you need to do, everyone. So Robert barely liked working, let alone working and managing a group of people.
True. Yeah, I even cut down to 4 days. I was like, I can't do this. Let me cut down to 4 days.
Robert's had this thing, right, where I'm pretty good in work at dealing with shit, dealing with it, then just dealing with it. Whereas you're like, right, that's it. I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's always been your thing with work, hasn't it? Like, you've always, like, not always, but if you really don't enjoy your work, you will leave it and move on to something else.
I'll leave it, because the thing is, I always have makeup, you know, like I always have. And even when, but oh, this is going too into this isn't about me,
about you. Okay, so so let's talk about YouTube as a viable job. So that's one thing that you struggled with, was thinking, can I earn this amount of money every month? Is this going to keep me alive? Yeah, basically. Yeah. One thing I must say is I think a lot of people see YouTube as you either make no money or you make millions, and you're on millions of subscribers and you're doing really well and successful. When I was in about maybe 200,000, I was making above minimum wage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not like you don't have to start YouTube thinking, I need to earn lots and lots of money. I need hundreds and thousands of subscribers. You can start YouTube with a successful channel in the sense that it pays you a living wage. Yeah. You know, it could be your, instead of going out and working in retail, if you don't like it, for minimum wage, you could have your own YouTube channel for minimum wage. YouTube success doesn't look like millions of subscribers and millions of pounds.
That's it.
You know?
So talking about how much money you make, depending on your subscribers, I started making UK minimum wage, and you can kind of Google this because I don't really know how much it is, but I worked it out then when I was on 50,000 subscribers, because my reaction videos were getting a lot of views, and that is your main income. Not your, the way it's kind of worked out is you can have millions of subscribers, but if 100 people watch your videos, I mean, that wouldn't happen, but just an example, you're not going to make the money someone would if they had 100 subscribers and 100,000 people watch their
per
videos.
Video, yeah.
Yeah. So it's more your videos that make you the money and how many people watch it rather than your subscriber count. Of course, that helps.
Subscriber count is nice to get your, like, a wider audience, but like Robert said, what's more important is your view numbers, but also your engagement. So the amount of time people are watching your videos. So that's one thing that you really have to concentrate on mainly if you're going to start a YouTube channel, is how do I bring in this audience and how do I keep them entertained and engaged, not how do I build a bigger audience.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, just because someone's on a million and someone's on 30,000, it doesn't necessarily mean the person on a million is making lots more money than the person on, you know, 30,000.
Exactly. I mean, we know some YouTubers, well, we don't know them personally, but we've seen some YouTubers that are in the millions of subscribers and actually get the same views similar to what I would get in some of my videos, you know.
I'm on nearly a million. You're on how much are you on?
611,000.
We get relatively pretty much the same views. So it doesn't matter. Again, like what am I saying? So yeah, there we go. It doesn't really matter, you know. Yeah. It's just your engagement, your audience is the main thing.
Exactly.
So that's the thing as well. If I think when people say they want to be a YouTuber, I think people immediately think like, oh, so you want to be famous and you want to be, and it's like,
right, you want free things.
Yeah, you want free things. It's like, no, I can make a very viable, realistic career by understanding the basic analytics and building a decent audience and making a good wage.
Exactly.
You know?
So let's talk about, before we get into like picking topics for videos and things like that, Now, to build an audience, let's talk about games. Me and James have decided to eat a full breakfast. While we, and I don't understand why, because I'm trying to chew really quietly into the microphone. We keep doing this. But getting started, there seems to be this kind of... I see a lot of people say, I always say I see a lot, and I've probably seen like two people do it.
Yeah, stop lying.
They're like, you know, I want to make a YouTube video, but I don't have that much money. I don't have money for lights, a good camera, all this kind of stuff. How important do you think amazing lighting and an expensive camera is to making a channel in general?
I mean, as long as you're not sitting in the dark,
right,
speaking into a cushion, exactly, like, you're fine. Here's an example.
Sorry, we got tuna melts.
A good example is Hyrum. Mm-hmm. He's on 2-3 million YouTube, 3 million, 3 million YouTube subscribers now. He records on his phone. He's got like good lighting.
Yeah,
but doesn't mean it's like expensive lighting.
Yeah.
So he's probably going from the kind of like that we have and mm-hmm. we bought, I would say that maybe I should have asked him, but maybe he uses two softbox, for example.
Yeah.
They're what, 40 quid you could get two softbox for on Amazon?
Yeah.
And then he records on his phone. Mm-hmm. And that just goes to show you that to be successful on YouTube, you don't have to have this amazing elaborate setup. But then that is also something that comes with time.
Yeah, that's the thing. It comes, like you said, with time.
And completely depends on your aesthetic as well. Like, I personally like having lighting and things going on in the background because... I'm a visual person.
I'm fixable.
But yeah, it's not important. It's not.
As long as it's not. Yeah, exactly. You know. I think as well, what I've kind of learned from some of my videos is a lot of people mention that they're going to listen to this later. And so it's a lot of the time people are actually, I do it when I clean, I put on a YouTube video I don't look at it really. If it's a makeup video, of course. Mm. And things like that, in case you will check back. But as long as your sound is good, I think that's one of the most irritating things. And even with my subscribers, they tell me they're like, it's really low this week or it's really high this week, you know? And you do get that feedback. So that's another thing to take a feedback. But as long as it sounds good and as long as you have, you know, a standard there, then it's absolutely fine. But like we said, equipment can be really cheap. It doesn't have to be the best of the best. You don't have to buy your ring light from this place. My old ring light, I just invested in a new one, but, you know, it's my full-time job now. But my old ring light was like £20-30.
What's the brand?
Newer. N-E-W-E-R. Yeah, those ring lights are amazing.
On Amazon.
Yeah. Dead cheap.
Really cheap.
Buy one light a month if you have to.
Yeah.
But you can get a set of two softboxes for, like you said, $40 or £40. And that's all it is. That's literally, it's literally like, it doesn't have to be crazy expensive.
I think if you own a modern phone or a phone with a camera, you can make decent enough quality videos to upload on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's finish that mouthful there.
So one question I think I get asked a lot, I don't know if you do, is...
What the fuck? This chair is so...
No, I'm laughing at you eating that bit of cheese on the cardboard.
Don't waste a bit of cheese.
One thing that I get asked a lot is, how do I start? Mm. How do I start? And... a lot of advice I hear is just do it. Do it. You should just do it. But honestly, just get the fuck on with it. Like, I know it sounds really stupid, but you're going to keep putting off and putting off. And there's never going to feel like a normal or correct time to sit in your room and speak alone to a camera. Talk to yourself. One thing I would say is have a very clear plan of what you're going to do. What I like to do when it comes to my videos is bullet point. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do, the usual story method, intro.
Yeah.
The beginning, middle, end, lesson kind of thing, you know? Otherwise, you're going to sit there being like, oh, it's my first video, I don't know what to do. And be like, oh, I'm so, you know, awkward on camera. Like, none of that. One thing I would say as well is to take yourself seriously as a YouTuber the moment you upload your first video.
This is the thing, and I think we've all been guilty of it when someone starts a YouTube channel. It's like, oh, you're doing YouTube now. People are going to, like, take the piss a little bit, and they're going to take the mickey a little bit. But, like James said, take yourself seriously. Act like you've been doing it for ages. Talk like you have millions of followers. And you kind of just get used to it, really.
Yeah.
It is one of the most uncomfortable things ever. The first time I did mine, I think it took me, like, 20 or 50 times just to say hello.
I still fuck up my intro every single time. I do it, like, two or three times. Yeah. It never feels normal, but... Mm-hmm. I think you just have to get on with it. And then when you post that video, when you post that bit of content, wherever you're posting, make sure you are posting and posting and posting. Yeah. Don't post a video, go quiet for a couple of weeks, and then post again on exactly. a random day.
Yeah.
Know your structure, know what you're going to do. Maybe pre-film a month's worth of videos.
So I was going to say, do you think it's worth uploading? Like, say you just started your channel. Do you think it's okay to have your channel with just one video from the get-go? Or do you think maybe upload three or upload two to give a kind of vibe of the person and kind of what, like, topics are going to lead to?
I personally didn't do that. I uploaded one, and then uploaded one the next week, same day, same time kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, I think if you upload lots at one time, all the traffic is spread out too much. All the views are spread out too much. So if you've got that one video,
yeah,
you're racking up the views on that, and your engagement's better, your watch time's better, your views are better. Do you know what I mean? Rather than... We're just going to eat loud. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just going to have to do it. I would say have them ready. So you've got a good... solid month of posting so that the algorithm kind of picks you up more, yeah. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Let's talk about that. Talking about one thing I think we probably both found quite difficult getting started is the fact that for the first however long until your channel starts picking up, is you kind of have to treat it as a hobby.
Mm.
So you have to set aside time for it if you really want to do it. If you have time for it, because a lot of people work full-time 5-6 days a week and might not have time to do this. What could people do to kind of fit in time for their videos? What kind of advice do you think that is? I know me working full-time I don't know me when I was working full-time, I would literally sometimes I would do it after work if I could, mm-hmm. and I would make a 15-minute video and just make this, because at least it's content,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just, oh, I can't do it, which I do now. But it's like, at least you're not skipping, you know?
I can only speak from personal experience, but I had a full-time job Monday to Friday, like at this point. So I would film on the weekends and I wouldn't see anyone and I wouldn't do anything else because I wanted to do YouTube full-time. Yeah. I probably did that for 2 years.
Yeah.
I had a bit more freedom when my audience picked up and then I started working shift work.
Mm-hmm.
So if I started at 12, I'd be up by 7 and I'd be recording before I go into work, or like you say, after work if you finish early.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, fitting it in where you can,
mm-hmm.
or just, I personally didn't have a social life, but I'm a very stay at home person.
Right.
It's something I enjoyed. And that kind of goes into what your YouTube channel is going to be about, because you need to pick something that you want to go home and talk about.
Yeah.
That you love talking about, mm-hmm. that you don't see sitting down and talking about after a long day of work as a chore.
Right.
And something that you can talk about nonstop over and over and over to avoid burnout, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for example, I get a lot of people messaging me. And by a lot, I literally mean like maybe 2 times a week for the whole time I've been doing YouTube, right? So over 5 years, that's mm-hmm. a lot of people who have messaged me before saying, I'm going to start a skincare channel. I'm like, oh, great. Go for it. Do it. If you have any questions, like, let me know kind of thing. Like, yeah, I'll let you know. How do I use a serum?
So there you go.
So it's like, so you don't know, like, you can't create a channel based on something that you don't feel confident talking about.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's a difference between knowing everything about it and being confident about
it. And that's not saying
you have
to be an expert about it.
No.
If it's a love of yours and it's a hobby, then absolutely you can talk about it. Just be careful when you talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, for like skincare, makeup, you can talk about because it's your profession.
Mm.
It's my passion.
Yeah.
No, there's like Disney Channel, like people talk about Disney.
Oh,
there's people
God.
Talk about
yeah.
theme parks.
Yeah.
There's people who talk about miniature houses. You know, there's
exactly.
Anything, like even if you think your hobby is the weirdest thing ever, there is a market for it.
There is an audience for everything. It is so, you don't realize. I think you get into like all your videos you watch on YouTube, you get into this algorithm and it shows you, you know, what you want to see. And then you don't realize that there's whole other worlds that are in this YouTube world of loads of stuff. It's like how to, you know, polishing mirrors and things like
weekly mirror polishing.
Exactly.
There is, I think. And even if there is, it's like oversaturated because the majority of YouTube genres is now oversaturated because there's so many people doing it. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk about it. 100%. Because we were saying the other day, aren't they? Like, every day you can discover a new person who's on, like, a million subscribers that you've never heard of them before.
That's the one thing as well I kind of worried about going full-time into it. It's, like, it's makeup, it's beauty. So, probably the one oversaturated market on YouTube is beauty and things like that.
The biggest,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but also, there's people you like and there's people you don't like. Someone's going to find you and love you. Other way around also, but yeah. Like, you know, there's always going to be, you're always going to have a support, like a YouTube family. There's always going to be people that support you on there.
And that's the thing, is you have to have your personality as well, and that's where it's really difficult, because you don't have to be this person that's sitting there shouting at the camera,
oh my god, yeah,
like, this is me and I'm crazy.
Yeah,
but you have to be yourself, and I do think that's really difficult to do on camera.
Yeah, it is, because when you start, you're like, hi, and today,
and welcome to my channel. Yeah.
You don't have to watch, but you can.
Sorry about the curtain behind me. You know, all this other stuff. It's it's really, really difficult, and it's even more difficult to be yourself when you are alone in a room, talking. Like, it doesn't make sense to do it, but you know, you don't have to be this like biggest, craziest personality, because there's going to be people who are attracted to you, well, drawn to you. Sorry for. Just your
different
personality.
Reasons. Yeah. Like when you make friends, you know, people like you and some people don't. Let's talk about, what was I going to say? Picking a topic for a video. Mm. So let's talk about our examples and how we do it.
So for example, so obviously we talked about picking a subject that you're passionate about, right? So one thing that I think is important to do first of all, for example, when I first started, I was doing men's grooming and stuff. I knew that beard care was popular, hairstyling products, not really skincare at all,
right?
Men's fashion. So that's what, like, I was doing one video a week, so that's a month's worth of stuff. Yeah. So even though I knew men's skincare wasn't popular, I still did it to gauge like
a different
audience and kind of like see what people liked and what people didn't. So as I said, with a subject that you really, really like, you should know like what you can talk about, kind of thing. So to begin with, I just talked about whatever I wanted that was related to it. Then with those videos, I'd look at the views. I'd see how many people watched a video, for example. But then I'd also look at engagement as well. So see how long people stay.
Retention rate.
So whilst the views were big for videos about hairstyling products, people switched off earlier.
Right.
So then for skincare, even though it wasn't as popular by views, people stayed for longer.
Yeah.
So then you kind of, that's where you got to kind of understand your analytics. But then also we were taught, when we talk about analytics in ASOS, you do a really rough guideline of how to schedule your week is two videos that you know are going to get views. Mm-hmm. One that's purely for you.
Yeah.
That's like funsies that you know isn't going to get any views, but you're doing it for yourself because you need that break almost.
Yeah, you need to do something that you really are excited about that week. Yeah.
And then one that you know isn't going to get many views, but is going to bring in a new audience.
Yeah.
So something a little bit different.
What's that? I'm sorry, a magical train is just driving past
There's
our window.
There's a tin dragon outside. what was I saying? And then one that... So it was almost like an experimental week as well. Mm. So that's what I helped me when I was getting started, is that kind of structure.
Right.
One for me, one for you, whatever else I say.
Two that work
mm-hmm. well. But then also repeating what you're doing. I think it's important, like, if a video is working well, you shouldn't be ashamed to keep doing it.
No, not at all.
Because what one thing people always say is, like when I do, like, brands I don't want to buy or products I hate, and I make those videos and get loads of views, people are like, oh, you're just doing this for views. Of course I'm doing it for views, because views is a representation of the interest of that video.
Exactly.
So, like, when I'm looking at my analytics, I'm not just looking at views, I'm looking at who's watching that.
Yeah.
Are subscribers watching it more? Yeah. Are people who are not subscribed watching it more? And if I see videos getting lots of views from people who are subscribed to my channel, I'm going to keep making those videos because that's what they want until the views drop off and we move on to something else.
Yeah.
So it's important to kind of like look at your views, see where they're coming from, and don't be ashamed to repeat videos that are doing well. Mm-hmm. I think when I first started, like, one video a week is fine. Now it's our full-time job, we tend to do two or three a week, right? So within that month, that's 12-ish videos.
Is it?
Yeah.
3, 6, 9, 12.
It's about time. What did you just do then?
3, 6, 9, 12.
What's that got to do with it?
Just me counting the weeks.
Oh, okay.
3, 6, 9, 12.
So you're going to get burnt out trying to think of like something new all the time. So repeat videos that are doing well, repeat videos that you see are doing well online. Like reaction videos do well. So do a reaction video, do your own spin on it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be ashamed of copying or jumping on a trend.
Here's the thing. The thing of copying people, it isn't really a thing anymore.
Nothing's original.
Everyone's done everything. And until somebody starts, you know, flying on camera or starts doing actual real life witchcraft, everything's been done, you know?
Yeah.
Also as well, your viewers will tell you what they want.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, Robert, can you do this? Can you do this? I want to see you do this. And then you'll get like a big like request for one certain thing, you can go ahead and do that. Or if you don't have any ideas, just take any idea, you know?
Yeah. One thing that you can do is just ask. Like, I do that in my community tab. One person was like, so in the community tab on YouTube, I'm like, let me know if there's anything that you want to see this month, because you create videos for your audience, not for yourself.
Yeah.
One person was like, I'm fed up with you leeching ideas off everyone.
What?
And I was like, but I do, this channel is for subscribers. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this for fun. This is my job, and I want to create videos that you're actually going to watch.
Yeah.
And everyone replied, they were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But that's something that you can do, because again, you're not making your videos or starting a YouTube channel to become a big celebrity and create viral videos.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Well, you shouldn't. But you know, you're creating these videos because you want to create stuff that your subscribers want to see.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
And that's how you build the channel. Talking again, I know money is a big thing for a lot of people. When I first started my YouTube channel, all I wanted to see was buy products all the time. I was like, I need to buy this. I need to buy this now. There are ways that you can do, let's say, for example, a makeup channel where you can, or skincare, where you don't actually have to physically buy a product. So you can do things like no buy month or no buy week. I'm not buying these launches this week.
Yeah, anti hauls.
Anti hauls. Go into like Trend Mood, which is that Instagram that shows you new releases, because, you know, there's about 50 a day anyway in a beauty world.
Yeah.
And you can be like, not buying this for this reason. I want to buy it. And they're really interesting to watch. It's really great to hear people's opinion.
And then also, as well, like, just make the most of what you have.
Mm.
You don't have to buy stuff. Like, you can, like, I think when I first started my skincare videos, I had the same skincare for like five videos. Didn't you? Like, I was quite lucky in the sense that my channel picked up traction very, very quick because of who I worked for.
Yeah.
And also because of who I worked for, gifting was a part of that anyway.
Exactly.
So I was already considered like an influencer before I started my YouTube channel. So I was already getting free shit. But if you're not, no matter how high up you get, you can still create content. You have to be a bit more clever about it, because, you know, it's difficult to watch the same product be talked about over and over.
Yeah, 100%.
But you don't always have to talk about product. There's so many different like things you can do, whether it is reactions, whether it's reviewing, or whether it's anti-hauls, like you said, or wish lists, or, you know, there's so many different things you could do about it.
You can literally go on a website. I would watch somebody shop a website and add things to their basket and be like, I want this. But you can do things about, like, say a new palette comes out and you know it's not available in your country, for example, or it's going to take ages to get to you. Film a video of you trying to hunt down the best dupe for that palette, you know, or something like that, or recreate looks with using a different palette. There's so much things you can do there without actually spending money. As tempting as it is, and I can't talk about not spending money because I buy everything.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
But that's business. Mm.
Let's talk about just swaying really quickly. No, it's not swaying, actually. Let's talk about the relationship with brands and gifting and sponsorships. Now, we mentioned one thing I want to talk about really quick is MCNs, multi-channel networks.
Yeah,
they are a scam. Don't join them. They're awful.
If a company reaches out to you, I was like, we're managed. Well, there are some genuine management, because
we have amazing
management. But there are some companies out there that are like, what's the one that gets everyone? I wish
there's Broadband TV.
Broadband TV.
There's Style Hall, but they've gone under now. They're not around anymore.
They basically, what they do is they reach out to you and they're like, join our, you know, thing, we'll give you this information, we'll look at your figures.
They sometimes call them self-management,
all this kind of stuff. The only difference is between that and management, not the only difference, big management, is they take a cut of your monetization from YouTube, and I'll only approach you when you can be monetized. And then they'll take a big chunk of your money and you won't hear from them for ages.
They don't do anything. They don't do anything.
Provide you with royalty-free music, a password to a website, which you can get for free anyway. And then other things, like, they're like, we'll look at your analytics, but they provide you with an app.
They'll be like, if you sign up to our MCN, you'll get more money per click, you know, we can help you in the algorithm a bit more. Mm-hmm. They don't do fucking anything. There are some good MCNs, but I would only join them if you are with management, exactly, with that company.
And they are getting you work.
Yeah. That's the difference between management and MCN. So look out for them. They're a big scam.
Yeah. If somebody's claims are going to be your management, but they're not looking for jobs and sponsorships for you, they're not a management company. Mm-hmm. They're just taking your money.
Yeah.
If they're not providing you with content, they're literally just taking your money and giving you passwords for websites, which you can find free online anyway.
Yeah.
Just don't get into that.
So one thing as well that you have to be cautious with, I would say, when you first start is gifting.
Yes.
So a lot of brands target, this is specifically obviously for when you're first starting, they target smaller influencers and say gifting is in exchange for producing content, which in some cases is fair enough. And it's actually a really good opportunity when you first start to get free product,
and
create content around it.
If you like the product,
of course.
But you also have no obligation to like it.
That's the thing. So with gifting, you can say, like, I would never say, like, yes, I accept your gift in swapsies for a video.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just be like, yeah, I accept your gift. I will talk about if I like it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good opportunity. I think, like I said, I was lucky enough to be gifted stuff quite early on. So I had continuous content to talk about.
Yeah.
And the more people see that other brands see that you're talking about brands and reviewing brands or creating content around that brand, the more likely other brands are to reach out to you and actually offer you sponsorship deals. So that's something that, like, you know, be grateful for to begin with. You can have enough of it when you know you can pick and choose. Yeah, but just be also careful as well, because there are a lot of brands that don't quite understand the gifting process, and it might be difficult for every influencer, but me and Robert have a very strict gifting doesn't equal a positive review or even that your product is going to show up on my channel, even if we like it.
Right.
If there's not content around it, it's not going to make an appearance.
And they're like, can it feature in a video? Yeah, it can feature in a video, but it doesn't mean I'm going to say nice things about it.
Yeah, it's going to be in top 10 products I hated this
exactly. time. Just because someone gifts you something, don't feel obliged to get it.
Say
nice things about it. Here's another thing, a little scam to watch out for also is, okay, there's two. This one really annoys me. PR searches.
What's
so
that?
Lash company. So usually a lash company. We're looking for new, influencers to add to our PR list. All you have to do is
buy our product
or retweet this picture or repost this picture. You are giving this brand free advertisement for no reason. If you, and that's the thing, they might choose one or two people, but they have loads, thousands and thousands of people reposting their picture. And it kind of looks a little bit like not that great on your posts anyway. But also, if a company says to you, we want you to try our product, we'll give you 10% off for you on our website. Do not pay a company to advertise their product. That's like, I don't know what that's like.
I get that all the time. It's like, all you have to do is buy our Amazon product. It's why would I buy your product?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Or like,
even with a discount. You can give me a discount, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Can't remember.
One thing I noticed a lot of brands are doing at the moment is I'm getting a lot tagged in, who's your favorite influencer?
Yes.
And they're these awful brands that sell shit, and then they're DMing me.
Yeah.
They're saying like, oh, your followers love you. Would you like to be part of our? It's like, don't do that. Don't do that to me, please.
Please don't do that.
Please
to
don't
me.
Do that.
Also, sorry, let me just talk about this. Be aware that going online and talking about all this free stuff you get looks tacky.
And pretentious.
It's to be things like, my goal for this year is to get on 20 PR lists. It seems...
Personal opinion.
It may not be the whole reason, but oh my God, it looks like that's the reason.
Mm.
Somebody who doesn't know you come up, I've made it on this PR list, I'm doing this. It's a great thing to be added to a PR list.
Oh yeah, you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, for a company to add you to it. I never talk about it though. Because it looks like you just want free stuff. The reason, you know, you want to do a YouTube channel should be because you want to share something that you love talking about. Mm. Oh my God, I didn't know what that was. I thought a ghost just touched my hand.
What, your tray? Your massive fucking tray to the side of you.
I just knocked this trolley and I thought a ghost touched my finger.
It's like huge and black and it's right there.
What was I saying? Yeah, so to go online and be like, I want to be on this PR list. Why are companies reaching out to other influencers, not smaller influencers? Because they want to make money.
They want to make money. That's just the reality of it.
That's just how it is. You have to think of it. It is a business world. It's not a fair world anyway. And it's also not a very fair business, most companies.
Yeah, but let's talk about that. Well, one thing, first of all, is being on a PR list isn't a sign of success,
no.
First of all, but also you can be a smaller influencer and get on PR lists. So what these companies want to do is just get free content to share. So if you want to be on a PR list and you're a small channel or small Instagram, make amazing content based around their product. And you know, it's kind of a win-win situation in some cases because you get traction. They should hopefully be tagging you, hopefully be asking to use your product in paid for advertisements and posts and all that kind of stuff. So make fucking amazing content. Last time we recorded this podcast, we were talking about an adult man who is an amazing photographer. If I ever did anything, I would want him to my photographer. He had a really good size Instagram following, but like he creates this amazing editorial, like amazing quality content for brands, and because of that they're reposting, they're using him to be the official photographer. He's not some he's amazing, but he's not some like professional world photographer. He does it at home, he does it in he might have a studio now, I don't know, but he creates such amazing content that he's doing so well, and his platform's getting bigger and bigger,
and the images are so incredible. They look like something that a company would have to pay thousands to set up a shoot.
And I hope they do. I hope they pay him
when someone is at home making exactly the same content that they don't have to pay any money for.
Exactly. So like, this is like, if you do want to do that, but then also know your worth as well, obviously. And that's the thing, like, you need to know what you're worth. I know it sounds really awful, but it was probably my own issue. But even when I was on like 500,000 subscribers, I still wouldn't call myself a YouTuber.
Even if I reach a million, especially in the beauty and makeup world, I'm like, so what? There's millions more who have more millions. You know,
I think just be humble.
It's very it's very, what's the word?
You shouldn't expect things just because you're certain.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sponsorships are something you will get at some point, hopefully. But again, they're not a sign of success. Well, they are. They're a sign that you're doing well and a brand wants you to create content for them. Again, this can be done whatever level you're at. If you're making amazing content, you can be getting sponsorships. And again, a lot of sponsors will try and base it on your subscriber count.
Mm.
That's not okay. Like, there's an amazing website called socialbluebook.com. Yeah. And you could you sign up with your YouTube and your Instagram and whatever other platform, and it tells you how much you can rightfully charge.
Exactly.
If you send that to the brand, the brand are like, why are you charging that? Social Blue Book, non-spun, give you a breakdown of why you should be charging.
And
it.
Listen,
you send them.
Don't be scared of that number, because you put in your subscriber count and it comes up with this ridiculous figure. I'm like, no, that
Robert
can't be right.
So when Robert first started, he was like, I don't know how much to charge. He was like, I can't remember what it was. Like, you were on like 400,000 something. Yeah. And you were like, I'm thinking of charging £100 for this video. And I was like, you're a fucking idiot. I was like, you need to go on this website. This is before we had management.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to go on this website and see how much. And then he came back and said, I can't charge charge that.
Let's talk about that. I don't know whether it's just a British thing, but talking money and talking about money and business is very uncomfortable for me. That's why I'm so happy now we have a manager who can do all that for me. Because when a company comes back, it's like, give us your your media kit and your rates.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know, like £1? Or just send me stuff and I'll talk
about
it.
Send me a voucher.
It can be very, very uncomfortable. But like Jane said, know your worth and your how much your content actually how valuable your content is.
Yeah.
It's a free advertisement for people in most cases when you talk about a product.
Yeah.
Why not get paid? Like,
thing you have to remember as well is that these companies have millions, billions even sometimes of dollars or pounds. Like, paying you a couple of thousand or however much they're going to pay is nothing compared to what they would have done for a huge campaign.
Exactly.
They have the money, they have a budget. Mm-hmm. When brands come back and say they don't have a budget, they're fucking lying. If they don't have a budget, they have no place.
Can you imagine? We don't have any a budget for advertisement. So, like, what, you're just going to release a product and hope people realise it's there?
Yeah.
We released this, we don't want to talk about it. But
yeah, it's a secret though, find it if you can. But yeah, that's the thing, like, I pretended to have a manager for the longest time.
Yeah, we did.
So we used to use a name, I'm not going to say, but yeah. We used to use a name, and it made talking about money a lot less awkward.
Yeah.
So we pretend we were this person, and they'd be like, this is how much they charge.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, fine.
Yeah. Don't do that though if you're just starting.
Yeah, don't, because that's weird. But yeah, socialbluebook.com is the best to kind of give you a very realistic figure of what you do. And it changes month to month. It's going to change more towards Christmas because there's a higher budget for Christmas kind of stuff. Lots of subs beyond. Should we round it up? We'll talk about our biggest mistakes that we feel or something?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. So self-promotion, I just want to talk about really quick. There is a way to promote yourself on social media.
Yeah.
I want to talk about collaborations really quick.
Okay.
So there is a way to promote yourself on social media, and it is not going onto people's profiles or YouTube channels and posting a link and saying, check out my channel.
Yeah.
You can, however, be like, love this video. This is why I loved it. Check out my video. That's absolutely fine.
I
check out my channel.
I love this look.
Do it. Yeah. Comment on people's thingies. Let's talk about collaborations, because there's something that, like, I'm very picky with who I collaborate with, and that's not because I'm like, well, you know, I'm nearly on a million, I get to choose.
Yeah.
It's because collaborations used to be such a huge deal when it came to social media. Mm. One thing that I think is quite interesting, I watched a case study on this, is Tyler Oakley. So he's on quite a few million on YouTube. I never really look at figures, I always forget. So Tyler Oakley is on 7 million and a bit more, okay? And him and also all the British YouTubers who used to, every single video was a collaboratory effort kind of thing.
Yeah.
What Tyler Oakley did was collaborate with pretty much everyone you know.
Yeah.
And the things with collaborations is, yes, it brings a new audience in to watch you, and you're sitting with that person and you're going, make sure you check out their channel, blah, 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 blah.
Go and take a look at part two.
Yeah, and they will. They're going to check it out. They'll subscribe because they've been told to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they probably won't engage with you as much as you hope they would. And that's obvious. That's all right. I think that's obvious through Tyler Oakley now, who's on 7 million. And like we were talking about earlier, he's getting the same amount of views as myself and Robert, for example, sometimes less. So it does just kind of show you that... while collaborations are important, you've got to pick the right person. So, I'm talking to myself now. Robert's had to grab Winnie and take her downstairs. But I will only collaborate with skincare people, obviously, because that's my niche. And hopefully, you know, I bring something different to skincare that whoever I'm collaborating with also has a different approach to skincare and brings something different to the skincare content. So you are watching something new, something different within something that you're genuinely interested in. The problem with these collaboration channels is all they did was collaborate.
Right.
That was their genre.
Yeah.
Was collaborating. So once the collaboration trend stopped being as big as it was, and people do still collab, but it was like huge back then.
So sorry about my squeaky chair.
So now there's nothing to their channel because you're not there for their singular personality, really. You're there because you want to see who's the mix of people.
Exactly.
I don't know. I should try and find the video, but it's very, very interesting. I was just saying, for example, Tyler Oakley, who's on 7 million subscribers, his latest videos are getting things like 42,000, 78,000 views. You know, they're getting the same amount that Robert and myself would get.
Yeah.
But again, that's still a successful channel because it's getting really good views,
yeah.
You know? But yeah, so when you're collaborating, make sure it's within your genre, I guess, or you can bring something new to each other's channel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Robert Welsh.
Yes. Hi.
What were your...
Sorry, speech.
Oh my God. Looking back on...
Yes.
It's only very recent for you, but looking back on what you... When you first started YouTube, what would you say are your biggest mistakes or things that you did that you wish you didn't?
So many things.
Oh my God.
I think one of the main things I wish I didn't maybe focus on so much is when I first started out, 100 views for me on one video was the goal for each video. So if it didn't get 100 views within a week, I was like, shit, that was a bad video.
Yeah.
But I wish I didn't focus so much on the bad in air quotes content I was putting out, when I should have been focusing more on what was liked more and then working on that.
Mm.
Other than worrying about why is nothing happening? Why is nothing moving? Like, what's going on? I wasn't looking at what other people were doing, I guess. I wasn't looking at what was trending. I wasn't looking at what wasn't performing on my channel and what was. I was just coming up with ideas in my head and being like, yeah, that's the idea. And then doing it. It's like, why does no one like it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think you focus on, why isn't my channel growing? Why isn't it doing anything? And it's like, you're beating yourself up over this thing. It's meant to be a fun thing you're doing. And hopefully it will blow up and hopefully you'll get something from it. But, and that's probably why I wasn't taking it as seriously. I could have sat there and looked at my analytics and I could have...
Say that again.
Analytics.
Yes.
Analytics.
Who's she?
Our
guest next week.
Drag queen. Analytics. Yeah, and I could have done that, but I just didn't put the time in.
Yeah.
And I guess I wasn't in there in my head. Also, no, I guess that's it. I'm sure there was a lot more.
Yeah. That's a good one, because that covers quite a few bits. I think for me, it was not starting on something that I genuinely liked to talk about.
Yeah.
Like I said, because it's what I did as a full-time job, I was so focused on menswear. And
right.
For men grooming,
yeah.
Which I fucking hate. I don't care about it. So for like 2-3 years of the 5 years that I've been on YouTube,
yeah.
I was creating content that I didn't like, and that reflected through the audience, the people who were following me.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get into a category that I just didn't fit into.
Yeah.
I was trying to do like this for men
world,
yeah. And they're all like, you know,
5 ways to tie a tie.
To wear a white shirt.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that stuff. The moment I started talking about skincare, and the moment I started dropping for men,
and you enjoyed it more.
I enjoyed it more. The more, like, literally, my audience started growing more. The more I actually, this sounds awful, but enjoyed the conversations in the comments.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense. Like, you see people, like, there's followers that we have that we talk to on a daily basis on Twitter, on Instagram, through comments, and you have that more sense of a community, because you actually feel part of it, because you're creating content that you genuinely love, and that attracts all the right people. So I think my biggest mistake and regret is starting YouTube with a topic that I thought I had to do rather than something I genuinely enjoyed.
Yeah.
I always think, like, what if I just started doing this straight away? Not that it's all about subscribers, but I'd probably be somewhere, you know, higher than I am now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just the lesson of do what you truly love.
I remember you're doing it. Remember, this is going to sound really cheesy and tacky, but remember you're doing the whole thing for love. No, I'm joking. For the love of your family. No, you're doing the whole thing. You're creating content for other people.
Yes.
So remember, it's the other people that matter. The people you speak to in the comments all the time, the people that are watching your videos, the people that have their notification bells on, the people that watch your videos. For me, they don't even like makeup, but they watch my videos anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's those people you're creating content for.
Yeah.
So don't get in your head about why haven't I got PR yet? Why are companies not recognizing me?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Your subscribers are. And they're the people that...
They're your boss.
They're the people that really, really mean everything in the whole, what's it called, career?
Spectrum
of YouTube. Yeah. Whereas a company, so what, you didn't get on, you know.
This is why, like, I started doing videos where I'm like, companies I'll never buy from, because fuck them.
Fuck everyone.
Fuck them all. I don't care. Like, they don't care about me. I don't care about them.
Yeah.
There's some brands that I have an amazing relationship with, but no one needs to suck up to brands anymore.
No,
because the power of the influencer, no matter how big you are, is way bigger than what, you know, conglomerates can do nowadays.
Yeah, companies are always going to say their stuff is amazing, but, you know, you're that person who says it how it is, and that's fine.
Yeah. And let's round it up, because it's hot in this room.
Oh, it's hot in this room, huh?
God, you said it didn't get hot.
No, well, with 2 computers in here and 3 microphones.
Yeah, true.
giving off heat.
If you have any questions for us, let us know. Maybe on one of, like, the podcast picture, and me and Robert will reply from our...
Yeah, don't message us, because we don't read them.
And me and Robert will reply from our personal accounts and have a look through the pictures. So, because it's been a bit everywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like we didn't cover everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it helped in some way.
Yeah, I hope it helps in some way. But yeah, make sure you rate this podcast, please. Please subscribe. And leave a comment if you want as well. We do read the podcast comments. Follow us on
the
reviews. Follow us on Instagram at the Double Cleanse Podcast. Yeah. Twitter.
Find it.
Find it. Yeah.
If you find it, then you get a free Respect. One free respect.
One free respect for you and your family. But yes, I've been James Welsh.
And I've always been Robert Welsh.
Yeah, he has. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.